Late Night reacted to an American drone strike killing Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. Trevor Noah said, what's crazy is that America didn't just kill him. They killed him with a razor blade missile. Trevor said he didn't even know such things existed. The weapons America has sounds like things the kids just make up on the playground. America clipped the most wanted terrorist off his safe house balcony. I mean, also at this point, maybe we should stop calling them safe houses. Every terrorist gets killed in a safe house. They should call it a house you think you're safe in, but you never know. I will say, you know, when you see stories like this, when you see stories of what America's capable of, that's when you realize there's no excuse for the amount of domestic terrorism in America. Al-Zawahiri lived all the way in Afghanistan in some random safe house in the middle of nowhere, and America knew what time of day he liked to go out on his balcony. But when a white supremacist posts on Facebook he's going to murder everyone and buys an AR-15, everyone's like, there was no way to stop him. If only he liked balconies. Jimmy Fallon went with one-liners. That's right, they got him with a drone. His last words were, wait, did I order same-day delivery? Yeah, they took him out with a drone, and if that didn't work, they were just going to send him an envelope that Biden licked. Let's start today on Gossip Corner. Dane Cook, 50 years old, is engaged to fitness instructor Kelsey Taylor. She's 23. They got engaged in York Beach, Maine on July 13th. Dane Cook said, when we started dating, we went there on our first trip together, so to return 5 years later was meaningful to us. So, Kelsey Taylor's 23, Dane Cook's 50. They've been dating for 5 years. 45-year-old Dane Cook first dated Kelsey Taylor when she was 18. Dane said, it's a place I spent much time in growing up, so I have such fond memories there. Kelsey added, I'm about to spend the rest of my life with my favorite person and my best friend. What is there to not look forward to? Congratulations to Dane and Kelsey. I met Dane once. He was pretty cool. I know he doesn't have the best reputation in the comedy world. I enjoyed him. He wanted some Sun Chips, and the staff was busy, and I went and got them. I went around the corner of the deli. I don't mind working. Here's some Sun Chips, Dane. Some Twitter reactions. Blake Hammond tweeted, it's hard to make fun of this because I also loved Dane Cook when I was 18. Twitter user Love Andy C with a slam. So at one point, Dane Cook had tweeted, if you could go back and tell your 15-year-old self something, what would it be? Twitter user at Love Andy C wrote, probably avoid marrying the 50-year-old predator at age 23. Wow. Newsweek points out celebrities like Nikki Glaser congratulated the couple on their announcement. Elsewhere across the internet, people were less complimentary about the relationship. Food and culture writer Mariel Sanji wrote on Twitter, look who's engaged to the woman he started seeing when she was 18 and he was 45. Totally not weird. Christian Finnegan tweeted, Dane Cook and his fiancée are registered at Build-A-Bear. Gianmarco Sorce, who killed up in Montreal last week, wrote, don't mind me, just doing math. Congratulations to the happy couple. Hey, remember Everybody Hates Chris? It's coming back as a cartoon. Everybody Still Hates Chris has been given a straight-to-series order by Paramount+. It'll also air on Comedy Central. That's good, because then somebody will see it. Chris Rock will reprise his role as the narrator in the series, inspired by Chris Rock's teen years, much like its predecessor. Everybody Still Hates Chris will consist of half-hour episodes featuring Chris Rock narrating stories about his experiences as a skinny nerd in a large working-class family in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn during the 80s. Chris McCarthy is a suit over there at Paramount Media Networks and said, Chris Rock is one of the most gifted comedians of all time. We're excited to partner with him, 3Arts, and CBS Studios to bring this to life and welcome it as the next big hit in our expanding arsenal of iconic adult animation that includes such smash series as South Park and the new Beavis and Butthead. Bill Maher's podcast this week is a good listen. The guest, Jay Leno. The headline, Jay Leno offers apology to Jimmy Kimmel years after confusion over Tonight Show fiasco. Back in June, Jimmy Kimmel was on Bill Maher's podcast and said during the whole Leno-Conan thing, Kimmel said he was definitely not on Team Jay and admitted he had a feud going at the time, although not anymore. On the new podcast, Jay Leno himself is there. Maher asked Leno about the possibility back then of jumping to other networks. Leno walks you through how he wound up with a 10 p.m. show. And then after that, the idea of Jay Leno being on at 11:30 and The Tonight Show moving back to 12, Leno also was considering taking an offer from ABC. Leno said, I called Jimmy Kimmel and I said, I'm getting offers from ABC. I don't want to start a whole thing here. If they're talking, putting me on at 11:30, would you go on at 12:30? I think he said, yeah, he wanted to. I said, okay. And we became friends. And then the move to ABC didn't happen and it became public. And I suppose I should have called Jimmy Kimmel and explained to him, but again, I didn't. I don't know why I didn't. I just didn't. I thought he'd probably figure it out, but I think maybe he was hurt by that, and I apologize to him for that. So why didn't Jay Leno switch networks? Jay said, I'm pretty loyal. You know, sometimes the czar you have is better than the one you're going to get. Then you have your old team shooting at you as well. I just figured, let's just play this out and see what happens. And it all happened fairly quickly. It's a very good listen. I listened to that on a 12-mile run this morning, Humble Brag. How about me? Go, 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 Humble Brag. I also listened to Tim Dillon's podcast, which was funny as always. On it, Tim Dillon mentioned he's got a Netflix special coming up. Let me see if there's a date there. I want to say he said it was August 16th. Yep, it's actually up on the Netflix website coming August 16th. Tim Dillon rants about fast food, living in Texas, Disney adults, and the reason no one should be called a hero. I'm looking forward to that one. From Deadline, Amazon is developing a single-camera comedy set behind the scenes of a struggling national sports show. This comes from Emily Heller and Megan Galley. The project is centered around National Sports Show as they decide to shake things up by pairing an unknown passionate female sports fan with an irrelevant former pro basketball nice guy. What do you know? Turns out they have a very complicated history. And sports comedies seem to be the thing. This from the Laugh Button. The Underdogs with two G's. We'll start Snoop Dogg with two G's. It tells the story of Jason Jennings, a.k.a. 2Js, played by Snoop Dogg, a former NFL superstar who, after a run-in with the law, agrees to coach a youth football team in lieu of prison in the hopes of relaunching his fledgling career. Snoop said, The Underdogs with 2Gs is a real personal project for me, considering I've been coaching football for 15-plus years with the Snoop Youth Football League that I started with my longtime business partner. Giving back to the community through football has taught us so many invaluable life lessons that we've been able to share with kids in similar situations like mine when I was growing up. My hope is this movie will shed light on the realities that kids and adults face in the hood and within the complex world of football. The South China Morning Post caught up with Margaret Cho. Earlier this year, Margaret Cho was walking her dog in Florida when, quote, 13 18-wheeler trucks began following her down the street, she says. The convoy honked at her aggressively in protest at the U.S. state's mask mandate to prevent the spread of coronavirus. One truck came close to running her over. Margaret Cho told the South China Morning Post, it's quite a dangerous thing to do to have an 18-wheel truck with no license plates actually trying to get you. It's like a horror film. Those kinds of things are happening to Asian Americans, to people who are wearing masks. It's a very strange thing to feel attacked because of your race. It's not supposed to happen in America, yet we're the most racist country. Margaret said she's had to deal with aspirational whiteness throughout her life. Aspirational whiteness is a very big deal for the generation I grew up in. Our parents came to America escaping war, really a lot of incredible poverty and a lot of generational trauma to come here to have American children. They did not want us to have accents. As a result, growing up, Cho didn't speak Korean at home and only learned the language as an adult. She also notes a lot of Asian parents would name their children with, quote, older white lady names such as Margaret, Helen, and Eleanor. The Lucille Ball Comedy Festival is underway up in Jamestown, New York. Margaret Cho is your headliner tonight at 7. Erie News Now profiled the festival and said, historically, the five-day comedy festival has welcomed 15,000 people to Jamestown from nearly every state. Friday night, Jeff Foxworthy is doing two shows. The early show sold out, but tickets are still available for the evening show. Saturday, the Legends of SNL, which features David Spade, Rob Schneider, and Kevin Nealon. One of the organizers says, we have over 50 events planned over the five-day period of the festival, so as you can imagine, it's all hands on deck here as we wrap up some of the planning. We have live comedy, we have family entertainment, live music, wonderful food vendors, really something for everybody this year at the festival. Let's take a look at what's happening over at The Fringe. Tim Key's show is called Mulberry. Mulberry is the story of a celebrity sealed away, charting Key's professional crisis through an escalating thirst for craft beer and surprise appearances on TV quiz shows. His lockdown companion is a five-foot teddy bear, and stars in a handful of the funniest punchlines, while mentions of Tim Key's past glories become a pleasing refrain. Key's gift, the reason his shows always have great pace, is his poetry. And that is your comedy news for today. You can follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your shows, and I'll see you tomorrow.